For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Again this week, the Pepsodent Company presents another in a series of broadcasts to our men in the armed forces throughout the United States. Tonight from Gardner Field, the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
This is Bob Gardner Field Hope telling you soldiers, whether you're in planes or tanks, use Pepsodent and your teeth will never break rank. Or, this is Bob Gardner Field Hope telling all you pilots, whether you're going on a date or sitting behind a propeller, brush your teeth with Pepsodent and under your smelly, you'll never have an AWOL-er. Well, here I am at Gardner Field, and I found out why they call this place Gardner Field. Every time you see a pretty girl here, you'll find a big, tough pilot, Gardner. What a fun. Just saw my fun broker. What a welcome I got here. What a welcome. You know that big, beautiful red carpet they roll out and nail down for celebrities to walk on? Well, for me, they just rolled out the nails. And some of these boys are pretty expert at camouflage. They even can camouflage an elephant pit. I walked into camp this morning, and you should have heard the cheer that went up when I went down. I arrived at about 6 o'clock in the morning, just in time to sneak into the bugler's tent and fill his bugle with ketchup. 5 minutes after he blew reveille, H.V. Kaltenbaum announced that the Red Army had advanced as far west as California. But there are a lot of nice guys here and a lot of nice captains, too. You know what a captain is. That's the guy that gives a private from Minneapolis a 6-hour pass to go home for a visit. It's a nice camp. Skinny Ennis took a walk around the camp this morning, and a mosquito bit him. And he spit it out and said, "Boys, that stuff been cut." Then another mosquito bit him, flew away, and came back and left the pint. There's some great pilots here. There's one fellow at this field who used to be a cowboy, and boy, is he bow-legged. Really, he's so bow-legged, he's the only pilot in America who rides around in a P-38 with 1 foot in each tail. The bombardiers here are very accurate. The bombardiers are very accurate. At 3,000 feet, they can drop a bomb in the back seat of a car, but I got out in time. And they even have airplane locators here that can follow a plane through the sky even when it's going 400 miles an hour. It's really wonderful. Only last week it went haywire trying to follow a private on a 6-hour pass. They're very progressive here and try to encourage individual initiative and new ideas in flying, but I still think it's silly to take a new student up on the roof, then turn loose the pigeon and say, "All right, son, let's see what you can do." I took a plane ride, and the officer sitting next to me said, "Just look at this plane. Air conditioning, radio, streamlined motor, it has everything." Just as he said that, the plane began doing some crazy loop-de-loops, and I said, "What's got into the pilot?" And he said, "Pilot, I knew we forgot something." And the soldiers kept insisting that I make a parachute jump. Say, when they fold them, they always put big rocks inside. There's one plane here that's flown to Australia, North Africa, and China. I said to one of the pilots, "Hey, which one is it?" He said, "Is that one over there in the corner going?" This field is located in the heart of the oil country. In fact, they had to tear some of the oil wells out to put the flying field in. It's wonderful. When a plane runs out of gas here, all I have to do is stick a siphon down a gopher hole. I bought an oil well while I was here, but I found out later what I saw wasn't really what I bought. Well, I'll be back. I want to... I bought an oil well while I was here, but I found out later what I saw wasn't really a gusher. It was just a gopher squeezing a fountain pen. And there are a lot of gushers around here. In fact, whenever the boys get a pass, they call one up. I've had a very busy week, ladies and gentlemen. This is the week of the annual Academy Award dinner. That's the actor's USO. USO. Undying struggle for Oscars, USO. As usual, I was there, and I must tell you, of the last 6 Academy Award dinners, this was the best.
I was
I must tell you that of the last six Academy Award dinners, this was the best and most successful year for my parking concession. I had a very important role at the dinner. I was a toastmaster. They let me scrape it. And with a shortage of men... and with a shortage of men here, the stars couldn't find anyone to take them to dinner. Hedy Lamarr, Lana Turner, and Madeline Carroll called me up and pleaded with me to give them Charles Foyer's phone number. Wait till I finish the joke, will you? You should have seen all the autograph hounds around the ambassador. I certainly attracted attention when a dozen of them chased me for six blocks. That was a smart trick, swiping their ration books. Naturally, with all those big stars there, I didn't try to attract any attention to myself. I just walked in as calmly and as dignified as I could on my hands. All the men stopped talking when Dorothy Lamour walked down the aisle in her sarong. It was so quiet you could hear him waiting for a pin to drop. But what a dinner. The cream of Hollywood was there. Yes, sir, the cream of Hollywood. They still couldn't get a second cup of coffee. It was a very exclusive affair. I went with Edward Arnold. We had to pull strings to get in. I had to lace his girdle tighter to get him through the door. And they asked everybody to dress informal this year, but I don't like those informal affairs. When I was dancing, my bedroom slippers came off. When I bent over to pick them up, I split my bathrobe. And this year, though, you silly little joke, you... And this year, the women didn't wear mink and sable coats. They wore rabbits. You know what a rabbit is. That's Henry J. Kaiser, the animal world. Skinny Ennis brought his girl. Did she have big buck teeth? Skinny introduced her to a general, and when she bowed, she cut his overcoat into a field jacket. When I came in and sat down, there was a big neon sign over my head. This is the greatest actor of them all. And I was awfully embarrassed about it. The straps kept flipping off my shoulders. Hedy Lamarr offered to kiss every sailor, soldier, and aviator in the place. I don't know whether they made a rush for her or not, but when it was all over, she was wearing an anchor on her sleeve, a lieutenant's bars on her shoulders, and for earrings, she had two spark plugs from a P-38. When the dinner started, Greer Garson wanted me to come over to her table, and Betty Davis wanted me to come over to her table, and Hedy Lamarr wanted me to come over to her table. You know, you have plenty of headaches when you're a waiter. It was a pretty good dinner, too. Of course, they took care of the shortages in their own way. They served me the meat on the plates where they used to serve the butter. I don't know what kind of meat they served, but the waiter didn't use a tray to bring it in. He used a whip. We had victory lamb chops. That's a hot dog with paper panties. Earl Warren, the new governor of California, was there, and I sat next to him all through the dinner. I had quite a long talk with him, but it was no use. He can't get a C card either. There was a lot of confusion when the awards were given out because they found out they had one extra Oscar left over. The president of the Academy Awards has asked me to make this announcement. Will whoever got Skinny Ennis, please give him back. But I want to tell you, it was really exciting when they gave away the Oscars. I said, am I going to get one? And the guy cleared his throat. Then I cleared my eye. I would have won an award this year, but I didn't on account of the shortages. They were short of metal, and I was short of talent. One movie producer began yelling, I want to borrow Bob Hope for my company. So the president of Paramount asked him, do you really want to borrow Hope? And he whispered, of course not, but the president of my draft board is here, and I'm trying to convince him I'm nuts. Gary Cooper presented the acting award. Gary and I are both working at Paramount. You know the picture of Whom the Bell Tolls? Well, I set his alarm clock. I presented the award for the short subject. Bing Crosby should have won. He's produced more short subjects than anyone.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Francis Langford, right here. Come on.
It we parted, so brokenhearted, we'll never return again. Dreams are delayed, promises made, are starting anew. Just for you, it started all over again. The moment I held you so tight, it started all over again. When we kissed away the night till dawn's early light, now we're together, sweethearts forever. We'll start our romance anew. It started all over again. The moment I look at you.
Tonight, because it is my special privilege to introduce this year's Academy Award winner, that Yankee Doodle Danny, James Cagney, right here. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Well, here we are, Jimmy, the winner and the loser. You're not a loser, Bob. A loser is a guy who had a chance to get something and didn't. Well, Jimmy, I might have given you more competition for that Oscar, but you know you and I are a different type.
Why, Bob, that's the nicest thing anyone ever said to me. Well, don't worry about it, fella. Maybe you'll have better luck next year.
Do you really think I've got a chance to win the Oscar next year?
Sure, who knows? By that time, all the actors may be drafted.
Don't push me too far, Jimmy.
Why not? I fall down easy.
You know, Jimmy, it's pretty nice having you here. You're this year's winner, and I took the Oscar home last year.
I thought Gary Cooper was the lucky boy last year.
Well, he was lucky in the awards, but not in the crap game later on. But, Jimmy, I can't understand why I didn't win an award this year. Have you ever seen me act?
Yes.
Well, can you think of another reason? Seriously, Jimmy, you've seen my acting. Don't you think I deserve an Academy Award?
I've seen your acting, Bob. You should be a ward of some academy.
Wait a minute. A guy has to be bigger than me to talk like that to me.
Oh. A guy has to be bigger... Bigger than you to talk like that, eh?
Yeah, but you can call me Shorty. you've been kidding me so much, my listeners may believe it. Now tell me, what do you really think of my acting ability?
Well, Bob, you're good. In fact, you're so good, I don't see how I got the Oscar away from you.
You're really one of the finest actors on the screen today, one of the greatest talents, one of the most superb dramatic performers.
Well, why don't you go on?
I can't read anymore of this. My stomach is sensitive. Gee, well, what's wrong with my acting, anyway?
Wrong? Well, you don't have the right approach to the women in your love scenes. Be like me. Get rough with them. You want to make an impression on a girl, grab her by the neck and shove a grapefruit in her face.
Well, Jimmy, does that make her love you?
No, but then you can kiss her and get your vitamins at the same time. You see, you gotta be masterful, Bob. You gotta show them who's boss. When I kiss a girl, I take command. She's a private, and I'm the general.
And when I kiss a girl?
Did you ever see 2 yard birds wrestling for a cigarette butt?
Hey, I have an idea, Jimmy. Maybe you can make an actor out of me.
Bob, you don't seem to understand. What they gave me was an Oscar, not an Aladdin's lamp.
Seriously, Jimmy, I have my heart set on winning an Oscar. How do you go about it?
Well, to me, Bob, it was just a case of giving a distinctive histrionic interpretation of an authentic biographical delineation.
I guess I'll stick to road pictures. But, Jimmy, after just winning the Academy Award, how come you're appearing on this program?
Well, Bob, I've been walking in the clouds for a few days, and I just wanted to get my feet back in the mud again.
Just a minute, Cagney. I can be just as tough as you are, see? I don't take that guff from nobody, see? I'm going to bump you off, see? I got my gat ready, and I'm going to pump you full of lead. Say your prayers, see? This is your finish.
If I sound like that in pictures, I'm giving back the Oscar. You know, Bob, my motto has always been, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
That's something like my motto, Jimmy. The smaller they are, the harder they hit. But you know, you're just like I always imagined you'd be, ready to fight at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm. And Bob, you're just like I imagined you'd be, bareheaded.
Well, you know, Jimmy, appearing in gangster pictures certainly seems to have had an effect on you.
What do you mean gangster pictures had an effect on me? What do you mean?
Well, when they gave you the Oscar the other night, they were going to let you keep it. You didn't have to yell to George Raft, I got a towel, now you cover him, I'm breaking out of the joint. Doesn't playing those tough guys bother you, Jim?
No, not me. I go to work at the studio, shoot 3 guys in the morning, stick knives into others, bang a couple of cops in the afternoon, then I go home for dinner, wash my hands and face, and go right to bed at 8.
Wash your face and hands and go right to bed at 8? What for?
Well, goodness, if I don't, the boogeyman will get me.
Well, it was a great Academy of dinner, though, and gee, what a thrill it was when the winners were announced.
Well, you weren't a very good sport about it.
What do you mean?
When the judges handed me the Oscar, you shouldn't have jumped up on the table and yelled, politics, that's what it is, politics.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy, it was the champagne.
You didn't drink any of that champagne?
No, but I saw the price. You can say what you want about my manners, but you have to admit I gave my waiters a lavish tip.
Yeah, it was a pretty big tip. How did you find out he was on your draft board?
Every time he came to the table, he stamped my forehead 1A.
Anyway, I suppose you'll come to the Academy Award dinner next year, Bob?
Yes, sir. I'll be there with bells on.
All right, but try to get some smaller bells. You gave everybody a headache this year.
Well, at least I wasn't like some of the other actors who kept trying to catch the committee's eye.
Bob, if anyone ever hinted that they wanted an award, it was you.
What do you mean I hinted that I wanted an award?
Well, all during dinner, you didn't eat a thing. You just sat there staring at the Oscar singing, you'd be some nice, so nice to come home to. How was that?
Huh? Well, listen, Jimmy, what would you do? I think the gag was wet anyway. I think it was a Naval Academy Award. Listen, Jimmy, what would you... Talking about the dinner and everything, I just want to give you a little information. What would you call a guy who offered the judges $5,000 to give him that Academy Award?
I'd call him a louse and a rat.
What a coincidence. That's just what they call me. By the way, say, while we're here, about that proposition I made you, you know?
No, Bob, sorry.
Well, you ought to think it over carefully. It'd be worth your while.
Bob, there's no use discussing it any further. I don't care what Madeline Carroll would say if she saw it on your mantelpiece. I'm not renting it out for 25 cents a night.
Well, you know, a lot of the actors couldn't come because they didn't have a decent pair of shoes, but I took care of the shoe shortage in my own way.
But, Bob, don't you think you carried it too far?
What do you mean?
Well, after all, painting your feet black and then lacing up your toes.
Yeah, I found out my bunion takes a high polish.
Bob, tell me,
Forgive me.
That's all right. That was nothing. It was sort of a semi-egg, I thought.
Slow.
Have you managed to see Yankee Doodle Dandy?
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy, in that picture you started off as a song and dance fan. I actually started my career as a dancer. I had a job as a professional dancer, but I quit it after 2 years. I just couldn't make any money out of it.
I always thought that professional dancers were well paid.
Well, so did I, but gee, when customers come up to those dime dance halls, they only want to dance with girls.
You know, Bob, it's wonderful getting an award, but at moments like that, you stop to think a bit. It was only a few years back that I was a bellhop in New York.
You were a bellhop?
Yes, and I hated the job. I haven't got the right build for that work.
What do you mean?
I'm too tall for keyholes and too short for transoms. Well, it was just at that time that I was back on Broadway, too. I'll never forget my first days on Broadway. I used to pack them in. Day after day, I used to pack them in, but then one day it was all over.
What happened?
The Mayflower Company got a special machine to put the donuts in the boxes. Remember me in vaudeville, Jim? I was in vaudeville, but now it's dead.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah, those were the days. I used to get out on the stage and tell jokes.
May they rest in peace, too.
They do every Tuesday night, but I love vaudeville, Jim. I must have played every town in the country back in those days.
Did you ever play any small theaters, Bob?
Small theaters? Jimmy, I played in one theater that was so small they didn't throw the tomatoes. They just leaned forward and squirted the seeds in your face. Oh, those vaudeville fans, they love me.
They threw vegetables at you.
Yeah, sometimes as much as 48 points. They love me. I punched it, too. I was well known in those days. My name was a household word. Only they didn't use it in houses where they had children. My biggest thrill, I remember, was when I played in vaudeville in Washington. The president was in the audience.
Really, Bob? Which president?
How old do you think I am?
I thought it was going to be a doll, too.
I thought it was going to be one of our dream kids this week.
You know, I started in vaudeville as a hooper, too. You ever see me do my dancing act?
Yeah, what a swell act. You doing a tap dance in the middle of the stage, and Arthur Murray standing behind you with a big sign reading, "I can prevent this from happening to you."
Well, when you open on Broadway, I hear the audience chipped in for a return ticket to Cleveland. Now, I remember your early vaudeville days. When I was a busboy at the Friars Club in New York, you'd come in and try to mooch a free meal.
Jimmy, I never asked for food. I just walked around the tables watching the diners mopping up the gravy on their plates. I never even got close to them.
You didn't have to. You always carried a piece of bread on a yo-yo.
Yeah, I was the first long-distance dunker in history. And say, Jimmy, let's the dunker and zoom that allow setup. Jimmy, let's give the folks our version of a real old-time vaudeville act. You know, two boys with songs and snappy chatter.
You mean Jim and Bob right off the cob? Let's go. Give us some of your music, Professor.
Here we are, the Sunshine Boys, and happy to be back. When it comes to spreading fun, we sure have got the knack. We'll have you rolling in the aisles until you're black and blue.
Say, what's cooking?
Murder.
And then we say, what's new?
Oh, you can tell we're Broadway by our spats and happy clothes. We know you all love us by the way you hold your nose. How we mourn for dear old Vaudeville. We're the reason why it's dead. And we're loyal to the OPA.
Throw only canned goods.
We're loyal to the OPA.
Tear up my stamp book.
We're loyal to the OPA.
Hand me that siphon.
Oh, we're loyal to the OPA.
Good morning, Judge.
Cagney.
What is it, Mr. Hope?
Tell me, Mr. Cagney, why did the chicken cross the road?
I don't know, Mr. Hope. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Because it was afraid to walk past the butcher shop. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, here's one for you. Here's one for you, Mr. Bones. How is a battle in the Pacific like a poker game?
I don't know. How is a battle in the Pacific like a poker game?
To open, you have to have Japs or better.
Yes, 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 yes.
Say, Joe.
Yes, Blow. There was a block of ice floating down the Delaware with a sign on it. What did the sign say?
I don't know. What did the sign say?
George Washington slipped here.
Say, you know, you're effervescent.
What do you mean I'm effervescent?
You'd be a good-looking fella, effervescent for your face.
Say, I went down... That's your line, huh?
Say, I went down to the butcher today to get some lamb. I went down to the butcher today to get some lamb. I was as unlucky as a tired hepcat.
As unlucky as a tired hepcat?
Yeah, I was beat to the chops again.
Say, Jimmy, how about singing that new song you wrote?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now sing that popular new ballad entitled, "She Was Only the Quartermaster's Daughter." That's why she threw such awful fits. Say, you know, Jimmy, I call my girlfriend 6 hour pass.
Why do you call your girlfriend 6 hour pass?
Because I can't get any place with her. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't sneer at the jokes. You may won't be young much longer either. That's in here. Say, old pal, how about giving me your girlfriend's telephone number?
Old pal, I'd love to give you my girlfriend's telephone number, but it's a private number.
Yes, I know. Every private in the Army has it. Say, I understand you went out with a girl defense worker last night, and you sat down on her blowtorch.
Yeah, I'm now wearing a zoot suit with a heat seat.
Say, what comes out of a chimney?
Me.
You?
Yeah, I thought her husband was on the swing shift.
By the way, did you hear about the whack that married the Marine?
No, I didn't hear about the whack that married the Marine. What color was her wedding gown?
It was a blue wedding gown, sort of a whack of Marine.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh! I knew that would get him. You know, Bob, shoes are being rationed now, so all the leather can be sent to the Army. Why does the Army have to make such big shoes?
I don't know. Why does the Army have to make such big shoes?
Because our boys over in Africa are taking a triple E.
Tell me, why can you be absolutely sure that we're going to capture North Africa?
I don't know. Why can you be absolutely sure that we're going to capture North Africa?
Because the best tunas of all goes to Carnegie Hall. Yes. That reminds me, Jim, what did the American soldier down in Australia say when the kangaroo hit him with his stomach?
I don't know, Bob. What did the American soldier down in Australia say when the kangaroo hit him with his stomach?
Pouch! I'm silly.
I'm Jimmy. Glad to meet you.
Yes, sir. How do you do?
Say, do you believe in reincarnation?
Reincarnation? What's that?
Oh, that just means that after you die, you come back to this world in the shape of an animal.
You mean after I die, I'm liable to come back here in the shape of a wolf?
Oh, no, you can't come back as the same thing twice.
Tell me, Mr. Bones, what did Dandy say after his 21-day fast?
I don't know, Mr. Interlocutor. What did Dandy say after his 21-day fast?
I'm hungry.
And now...
Smile.
Come on and smile.
The while.
Smile all the while.
I keep
some dancing kids.
You gotta do.
Because we're through.
Where?
I gotta end
the cloud.
To see a cloud.
Roll by.
Across the high.
We come to you.
That's what we'll do. So.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag. And smile.
Keep smiling all the while.
If you've got butter in your shopping bag. Smile, folks. That's the style.
The latest style.
Oh, that's why we say. No, wait a minute.
So that's why we say.
Hey.
Don't wait.
I think the pace.
And pray.
Oh, don't delay.
Each night.
By candlelight.
For we.
What do you want for free, the Andrew sisters?
Till.
Till them and Bob.
We meet.
Right off the cob.
Again.
We meet.
Thank you, fellas, and thank you, Jimmy. That was great. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy's now going to do a song from good old Yankee Doodle Dandy. It's a grand old flag. Jimmy.
Stealing and it sets my brain listen to the music of a military band. Every tune like that simply sets me off my noodle. It's that patriotic something that no one can understand. Melody untiring, it's so inspiring.
Hooray, hooray, we are.
And that's going some for the Yankees by gum. Red, white, and blue, I am for you. Honest, you're a grand old flag. You're a grand old flag. You're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true, beats the red, white, and blue, where there's never a boat or brand. But should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on that grand old flag.
Thank you.
We may let him go on, Tuesday. I think you made the tryout, Jim. I think you made the tryout. Wonderful. I say, I just told him we may let you go on, Tuesday. Get more? No, you're all right. Fine. Thought he was on again. You follow this, huh? How about getting Jerry out here to do a little song right here? What do you say? Come on. The only man in the world can kiss a girl and give her the brush off at the same time. Jerry, how do you feel? Do you have a nice trip coming down?
No, but stop sledding.
Stop sledding. How come?
No snow.
No.
You know, I know these boys here. I know these boys here would be interested in knowing what you're doing for the fence. What are you doing for the fence?
Oh, I'm in the signal corps.
You're in the signal corps. What are your duties?
Oh, I get up in the mountains and I wag the boys.
Yeah?
Boys wag back.
I see.
Then I wag back.
Yeah. No, wait. Blow up that beaver for just a second. You get up in the mountains and you do what?
I wag wag and they wag wag.
No, and they wag wag. Now just please, can I cut in? You mean, Jerry? You mean you wig wag?
Wag wag.
Wig wag.
Wag wag.
Wig wag.
Listen, it's my tail and I'll do what I want.
No, you. What else are you doing for defense?
Oh, I'm living the life of Riley.
You're living the life of Riley.
Yeah, that gives Riley a chance to work in an airplane factory.
Where were you when they passed out brains?
What was that?
I say, where were you when they passed out brains?
I happen to be away. What's your story?
Music lovers.
Now for my next number. Patita, Marquita, La Vista, Rosita, Warita.
He was a handsome young Irish lad, and she was a Mexican beauty. It was fiesta, and I might add, romantically he was on a duty. A boy and a girl, and he's a satarism. I can tell it in the thick city for a man. His Irish hat went bingo when he saw the Rose of Juarez. Conchita, Marquita, Danita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, Lopez. Oh, you're a lovely single. For me, there's but one girl, he says. Conchita, Marquita, Danita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, Lopez. Mandarin began to play, and her lips were there to kiss. As they danced, I heard him say, New Jersey was never like this. The bells began to ring, and they rode away on a mule. To prove I'm not joking, if you're in Hoboken, drop in for a minute and you'll meet Conchita, Marquita, Dalita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, or two. Yes, she won her heart one night with this serenade beneath the moonlight. Bella passione, bella passione. Bella passione, tu mi fai morire. Mandarin began to play. New Jersey was never like this. The bells began to ring, and they rode away on a mule. To prove I'm not joking, if you're in Hoboken, drop in for a minute and you'll meet Conchita, Marquita, Lalita, hip, hip, siri, pita, rita, Juanita.
Thank you.
resume our weekly feature, Meet the Army. Tonight, representing the soldiers at Gardner Field, we want you to meet...
Corporal Jack Custerton reporting, sir.
Well, hello, Blondie.
Hello, Bob.
I didn't expect you to have blonde hair.
That makes it even. I didn't even expect you to have hair.
You know, Corporal, we never have anything but beautiful women and real he-men guests on this program.
I know, Bob. And I think it's nice of you to act as middleman.
You're going to make trouble, huh, Jack?
Yeah.
Well, Jack, pretty soon you'll be a sergeant.
Yeah, looks bad, doesn't it?
But I shouldn't say that.
They're great guys to have around.
What good does a sergeant do around a camp?
Every Sunday, when we have sour milk pancakes, they come around and curdle the milk.
Where do you hail from, Corporal?
I'm from New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven. All Yale men? You're from New Haven, Connecticut, huh? Well, you know, I played vaudeville in New Haven, and the whole town turned out.
Really? Did you get away?
You know, Connecticut's a wonderful state.
Yes, Bob. And I'm proud that I'm a Connecticut Yankee.
Yankee, eh? Well, look at Skinny Ennis over there. He's an example of the Southerners you Yankees fought in the Civil War.
What took us so long to lick him?
Well, wait a minute. You can't talk about Skinny like that. They think so much of him down south in Carolina that when he was born, the people of the state took one look at him and elected him an honorary Northerner.
Gosh, you must envy Ennis. But I'll bet if you exercise, you could be just as strong as he is.
Say, I resent you saying that. I'll show you whether I'm strong or not. Just look at this right arm of mine. Look at this right arm.
Say, that's quite a bump there. Is that a muscle?
No, it's not exactly a muscle. I just grouped together some of my flaps.
You know, you wouldn't be so flabby if you went in for athletics. I keep in trim by wrestling.
Well, I did a little wrestling, too. Gosh, I'll never forget my first match. My opponent was big and husky, and as he rushed at me, I decided on what grip to use on him. You know the airplane spin, don't you?
Yes.
Well, 2 seconds later, I was grounded for the evening. And not only did I wrestle, but I played football and box.
Yes, I can believe that, Bob. You must have gone in for lots of rough sports to get your face in that condition.
Now, wait a minute. What's wrong with my face?
Well, to be honest, your face seems okay. But your nose looks like it's trying to go A-W-O-L.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with my nose, and anyway, it'll come in handy if I ever lose one of my knitting needles. Say, what are your duties here, Jack?
Well, I'm a physical instructor here. I help the men build and develop their bodies. Now, don't get excited like that. Your case is hopeless.
Wait a minute, I'm not really fat, you know. It's just this suit I'm wearing. It bags a little in the front.
What about the rear? It looks as if you just joined the Air Corps and tried to pack your own parachute.
Now, wait a minute. I may look soft, but I'm as hard as nails. As hard as nails. Go ahead. Just take a punch at my chest.
Okay, I'll take a punch at your chest.
While your hand is sticking through, would you mind scratching my back?
You know, Bob, I think I can help you out.
Really?
Yes, I'd like to give you a few workouts. I'd make a man out of you.
You'd make a man out of me? Are you kidding? Just feel this muscle again.
Well, I could make a girl out of it.
Say, how about telling us something of your Army career, Jack?
Okay. I left Amherst College in February 1942 to enlist, and I became an aviation cadet. But then, several months later, I was washed out.
Come, this is no time to discuss the California weather. You know, my brother was washed out just a month ago.
He was?
Yeah, the tide from San Francisco Bay came up in his cell.
Well, I'm still in the Air Corps, so I don't feel too badly about being washed out. Anyway, you know the training for a flying cadet is tough.
I could take it.
Strenuous exercise every day.
I could take it.
And no dates with girls for weeks at a time.
I could also leave it alone. I'm in good condition. I just completed a 6-week course in building a body beautiful myself.
Gee, you should meet my Uncle Bob.
Is he interested in physical training?
No, he's a lawyer, and he could get your money back.
Listen, I'll show you how tough I am. Here, shake hands.
Okay, Bob, shake.
Well, I can always use that hand to wipe off windshield. Tell me, what school did you go to, Jack?
I went to Amherst.
Well, your school must be proud of what you're doing since you left.
They were, up to a couple of minutes ago. I went to grammar school in New Haven, then I attended a preparatory school, and then I went to Amherst College.
Well, all that was denied to me, Jack. I went through the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, I can tell by the shape of your head.
Looks better with a Pepsi cap screwed on. Seriously? Seriously, I went to school in Cleveland. What did you learn at Amherst, Jack?
I learned all about geography, physics, mathematics, psychotechnology, and invertebrate biology. What did you learn at your school?
Never blow a spitball into the wind.
Sounds like you never went to school.
Certainly I did. You know, Skinny Ennis and I attended the same school. We grew up together from kids.
Oh, did Skinny Ennis grow up from kids?
Sure. Sure, Al. Where else do you think he'd come from?
I thought he was just something your hen forgot to put a shell around.
No, he was delivered by the stork like everybody else, except when the stork got over to his house, it opened its bomb door too soon.
You must have been a tough kid in school.
No, I wasn't. They just picked on me. One day I was thrown out of school for bringing the teacher a red apple.
Were you thrown out of school for bringing the teacher a red apple?
Well, it wasn't exactly a red apple. After she pulled the stem out, she discovered it was a hand grenade. Ah, school days. Those were the happy days. You know, I'll always remember my school days. They went something like this.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'll try and show the early school days of Bob Hope. So we move time backwards many, many years ago to that happy day in the Hope household when little Robert is about to go to school for the first time. He's been carefully dressed by his proud parents, and as he closes the door and leaves for school, his happy father tenderly says to his mother,
I hope the little rat gets hit by a truck.
Due to his natural brilliance and because he studies hard, young Robert Hope advances... Due to his natural brilliance and because he studies hard, young Robert Hope advances rapidly in school, and in less than 8 years, he works his way up to the third grade. But Robert is a romantic little youngster and develops a crush on his former kindergarten teacher and one day steals a kiss from her. So she sends him to the principal of the school, who we now find punishing young Robert.
Kissing the kindergarten teacher, eh? Well, that'll teach you to muscle in my territory.
And now, as our sketch opens, another school day is dawned. We find Francie Langford and Skinny Ennis in front of Robert's house.
Oh, Robert! Robert, come on out. Me and Skinny are on our way to school.
Holy gee, I'm still in bed. I'll have to get dressed, washed, and eat fast.
Here I am. I broke my record by 10 seconds.
Gee, that's great. Now go back to the house and put on your pants.
Oh, never mind. Hey, let's have some fun. Skinny.
Skinny, wiggle your ears for Francis.
Okay.
Overdid it a little, didn't he? Overdid it a little, didn't he? That's a nice line. Hey, Francis, how's about me being your boyfriend?
Robert, you can't get coffee anymore, so stop percolating.
Gee, I wish you'd be my girl.
Hey, Robert, you can't steal my girl, Francie, like this. This means fight. Francie, hold my coat.
Francie, hold my coat.
Okay, boys. Now, when I count three, come out fighting. One, two, three. They both fainted.
Oh, let's be friends, Skin. Say, Skin, let's start by locking and get some holes drilled in this apple we're going to give the teacher.
What do you want holes drilled in it for?
You dope, how else are we going to get the worms in?
We better hurry or we'll be late for school.
Oh, look, there's an open sewer with a long ladder down. I wonder if anyone's on the ladder. I'll drop this heavy rock down and see.
Well, I hope he knows how to swim.
Come on, Bob, it's Kitty. Let's hurry or we'll be late for school.
Francie's my girl. Francie's my girl. I'm carrying her books to school.
Well, it's only fair. After all, she's carrying you.
Say, how long you been in the same place, Bob?
Not so long. Not so long at all.
Oh, cut it out, Bob. You're the only one in town who goes to school in the daytime and then attends meetings of the Parents Association at night.
Say, we better hurry or we'll be late for school.
Oh, let's take it easy. Make them wait.
Get a load of that, Robert. Look how independent he's acting ever since they put his initials on the hat band in the dunce cap.
Hey, look, Stan, there's the old swimming hole. There's Wendell Niles on the diving board. He's going to dive in. There he goes. Think we should have told him it was dried up?
Yeah, Bob, I guess we should have, because here comes Wendell now. He's a school bully.
Robert Hope is a sissy. Robert Hope is a sissy.
And a dope and a nitwit. Who said that?
I said it.
Let's hear you say it again.
Robert Hope is a sissy and a dope and a nitwit.
Got a good memory, haven't you?
Gee, that town bully's tough, isn't he?
Ah, I'm not afraid of him.
Yeah, well, which one of you punks wants to fight me?
Well, what are you waiting for, you yellow? Yeah, what are you waiting for, Francis? Are you yellow?
Hey, I can handle him, Bob. Listen here, Wendell. You're only a little guy, and you better be careful because you're now looking up at Bone Crusher Innit. You're now looking down at Bone Crusher Innit.
Hey, Hope, if you want to fight, come on, fight.
Okay, I'll fight.
Stop, Robert, stop! Please stop, Robert, you're bleeding all over him.
Hey, you better cut that out, Niles, or somebody's going to get a punch in the nose. You hear that? Somebody's going to get a punch in the nose.
Well, I got it. Oh, look, there's the school. There's our teacher, Miss Vague. Yoo-hoo, Miss Vague! Here I am, Miss Vague, coming to school again. Little Robert Hope.
Oh, dear little Robert Hope. Oh, let's play a little game. Now, close your little eyes tightly and run right across the street to me.
Okay. Here. Okay. Well, here I am.
Well, I'll put the cover back on that manhole then.
Gee, I'm sorry I'm late today, teacher. We moved.
Well, don't bother me. Notify your draft board. Now, come on in and be seated, children. Frances, you sit near the wall. Skinny, you sit in the middle. Robert, you sit near the window again.
Oh, I don't have to sit near the window, Miss Vega. I did what you told me last night. I spent over 2 hours in the bathtub.
You get into the bathtub, make sure there's water in it. Now call the roll. Can you hear this?
Yep.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I'll continue with the roll. Francis Langford.
Here.
Noggle Snoggle.
Teacher, you're always teasing me about my nose. It's not fair saying I have such a big nose.
Maybe not, but you're the only one in the class who can nod his head no and erase the blackboards at the same time. Now, come on, kiddies. We'll start with the day's lesson. Who hit me with that spitball? Well, there's only one thing for me to do.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
It's discipline and it's fun, too. All right, now, the class will come to order. Now, please, if you children don't maintain a modicum of propriety and decorum during the course of my discussion, I shall deem it advisable to take punitive measures immediately.
Gee, what does that mean, teacher?
Means if you brats don't pipe down while I'm talking, I'm going to come back there and beat your brains out. All right, now, children, I have an important message for you. Are you paying attention?
Yes, teacher.
Well, it's just this. I don't mind when you put tacks on my chair, but children, please, in the future, we can do without the hot rivets. Now, we will begin our regular question period. Remember, kiddies, just ask your teacher any question that bothers your little mind, and I shall answer it from my inexhaustible store of knowledge. Ready? First, arithmetic.
Teacher, how much is 2 times 2?
And now, geography.
Geography? Yes. Tell me, what were the geographical boundaries of the ancient Grecian Empire during the reign of the Emperor Augustus?
What's that?
Come, Miss Vague. Just let your mind wander back to the writings of Homer and Socrates, and I'm sure the response will be evident to you.
How do you like that? Since rehearsal, he's had John Kieran punch up his script. Well, let's get on with today's lesson. Francis Langford. Francis, who discovered America?
Christopher Columbus in 1492.
Very good. Care to try for the $2 question? No, I really mean you're a smart girl, Francis. You're the smartest one in school.
He is not the smartest one in school.
I know, but what can I do if Father owns a butcher store? You children questions isn't getting me anywhere, so I'm going to use a scientific method. I'm going through the class, and I'll find out how smart you are by feeling the bumps on your head.
I'm Wendell Niles.
Oh, you have a very nice head.
I'm skinny in it.
You have a very nice head.
I'm Bob Hope.
Ouch! That's quite a point on it, hasn't it? Robert, yesterday I warned you about that dirt behind your ears. I told you to do something about it, did you?
Yes, ma'am, I did something about it. Look now.
Oh, how sweet. You've planted a victory garden.
Let me out of here. I'll suffocate. Help. Let me out.
Oh, goodness, that skinny in us. The dunce cap fell on him.
Oh, teacher.
Oh, quiet, avocado head.
Teacher, Robert Hope is holding my hand.
Goodness, he is.
Now he's hugging me.
He is.
Now he's kissing me.
He's kissing you?
Yes, what'll I do?
You care to come up here and teach for a while? And Robert Hope, yours is scribbled so badly I can't even read your writing.
Well, gee, you ought to be able to read it. My father wrote it for me.
You should never try to write it while he's riding in the patrol wagon. I've stood all I'm going to stand from you. I'm going to turn you over to the principal and have him punish you. Principal Colonna, will you come here, please?
I'll be there in just a minute. I'm over here teaching Mary some nursery rhymes. Mary, Mary. Quite contrary, isn't she? Okay, but before I come in, I want you to listen to a little speech made by my favorite student, Joseph. A month ago, whenever little Joseph would speak, he stammered something awful. But listen to him now. Say something. Father Joe. Still stutters a little. Now, just a minute, Miss Vega. There's a kid here who came 5 minutes late this morning, so I am going to have to discipline him.
He came 5 minutes late, so you have to discipline him?
Yes. Now, close your eyes, kid. Next time, you'll have to stay after school. I'll be with you in a minute. I'm having my nails manicured. Fine, now, just put a little polish on the knuckles and call it a day. I'm all ready now. What did you want to see me about, Miss Vane?
Oh, several things, Principal Colonna. You know, some mischievous child sneaked into the chemistry laboratory again. There's an awful odor coming from there.
You don't say. Is Robert Hope in your room?
Yes.
Then this time, it must be the chemicals. Do you have any other complaints?
I certainly have. You know, somebody's been hiding in the hall outside and kissing all the pretty teachers as they pass by in the dark. Today, somebody kissed me.
Somebody kissed you?
Yes.
I'll have to carry a flashlight.
Professor Colonna, I want you to punish Robert Hope.
Robert Hope, eh? Well, I've got your record here in my office, Hope. You've been playing hooky every day this week. What do you do when you play hooky?
Well, I spend the mornings in a pool room and the afternoons in a burlesque show.
Ashamed of you, wasting your mornings like that. Rabbit, you're a sad case. I don't know what to say to a boy like you. Why do you go to burlesque shows?
Well, I got a pass.
Got two?
So you're losing your wit.
Gad, I haven't even got a safety pin with me. Rabbit?
Gee, I hate that Principal Colonna.
Rabbit, why do you always go around with a chip on your shoulder?
Well, that's not a chip. I'm wearing my old man's coat, and he's a second lieutenant.
Your father's a second lieutenant?
Yes.
Oh, you poor boy. Now, let's get on with our classwork. Now, pay attention, children. I want to help all you children realize your ambition in life. Now, Robert Hope, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I want to fly a P-38 with two tails.
With two tails? Goodness, I wonder where we can get you another one.
Yeah.
Miss A, what are you doing tonight? How about a date?
Principal Colonna, how could you ask me such a thing? I have 40 children in here.
Yeah, I didn't even know you were married. Oh, by the way, which one of those kids in there put some tax in my seat? Come now, which one of you kids put some tax in my seat?
It was me, sir.
Robert Hope, eh?
Yes, sir. Are you very mad?
Why should I be mad? They hold my pants up better than a belt.
Oh, Professor, may I talk to you for a minute?
Well, just a second. I'm over here at the kindergarten, Hope, handing out diplomas.
Well, I never heard of that, Professor. How can you give diplomas in kindergarten? That's just the beginning of school.
Yes, I know. Teacher is Henry J. Kaiser. Now, I'll come into your classroom.
Hey, Skin. Principal Colonna will be coming in the room any minute. Let's rig up a pail of water so when he opens the door, it'll fall on him, huh?
Okay, Bob. That'll do it. I am coming now.
Ah, I thought you were going to get me with that bucket of water, didn't you? I'll fool you. I'll come in through the other door. Tricky little rats, ain't they?
What do you want, Principal Colonna?
Fire drill, fire drill. Hurry up, fire drill.
Stand up fast. Fire drill.
For the exit, march. One, two, one, two. Are all the children gone?
Yes.
Okay, kids, come on back. The fire's out.
Mr. Colonna, I'm glad you came in here. Someone in this class is a stupid jackass and a disgrace to this school.
Nah, yes. Why don't you resign?
Oh, you dear man. I don't know if that's a mustache you're wearing or if it's just the moss on your brain.
That settles it. That settles it. Children, I have a new teacher I'm going to bring into this class. She's very pretty. I'll go out in the hall and get her.
What are you doing out there, Principal?
Gathering a little interest.
Come back here, Principal Colonna.
Okay, now I've got great news for you, kids. Next month, you start your Christmas vacation.
Oh, that's silly, Colonna. It'll be hot weather. Why are we going to have Christmas vacation next month?
I always wanted to see Santa Claus in a bathing suit. Now, attention, class.
Yes, Principal Colonna.
Robert Hope, report to the office for a saliva test.
For a saliva test?
Yes, I'll find out who threw that spitball at me this morning.
Professor, you going to punish me?
Yes, I'm going to keep you in after school. Hello? Yes, this is Professor Colonna. Thank you. Goodbye.
Professor, how long are you going to keep me in after school?
Not very long. My draft board just put me in 1A.
Mr. Colonna, why don't you give Robert a good lecture?
Okay, Robert Hope, listen to me. You have to change your ways if you expect to stay in Principal Colonna's school, young man. Listen to this. I'll read to you from your record. February 24th, sneaked up behind the history teacher and kissed her. February 25th, kissed the geography teacher. February 26th, kissed the English teacher. Oops.
What's the matter, Professor?
This is my record.
Professor, what about punishing Robert?
Young Robert Hope, you're supposed to be a problem child, and I'm going to cure you with kindness. First, I like my problem children to admire the wonders of nature. Come here, Robert. Look out of the window. 9 floors down below, you see nature's wonderful view. Come closer to the window, my little lad. Yes. Don't be frightened. Come closer. Closer. There. You'll be surprised how many problems I solve this way.
Memories, a garden appeal to men who just can't wait to win. They'll rise into the whole world's skies to make them free again. We thank you so much, and thanks for the memories of all you men in flight. It's one inspiring sight, 'cause men like you streak the blue, put wings on dynamite. We thank you so much. Folks, here's how to keep these boys grinning. Buy bonds and they'll go right on winning. But remember, we're only beginning. On us depends how this all ends.
Thank you.
I do want to thank you very, very much for being such a great audience. And really, you got all the jokes. You're wonderful. Now, you're really swell, and this is going to be turn out to be. I think Cagney is marvelous, don't you? Huh? He is going to be. He's so wonderful.